Today's reading is in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simein, the son of Josic, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meleah, the son of Menna, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Selah, the son of Nashon, the son of Ammanabad, the son of Admon, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. I'll be the first to admit that reading genealogies is not the most exciting things to read from Scripture. And as you heard while I was reading it, some of those names are not that easy to pronounce. I stumble over some of them. They're a little bit foreign to us because they're not from our language, and that presents problems in reading through them. I encourage you, though, not to just skip through genealogies, but to look for the why. Why was this included? Why did Luke write all of this out to be included when he wrote his gospel account? I kind of want to look at the end to begin with, and point out that at the very end, it goes all the way back to Adam and then says, the Son of God. That's very important for us to put in there. And look at all the notable people in here. Enoch, Methuselah, Noah, Jesse, David. If you noticed Boaz being listed there, which means that Ruth would be in his lineage as well. Just some interesting things to note as we think about the genealogy. There's really not a story here. There's not something, you know, compelling to draw us in that I really want to read Luke 3, 23 to 38. That's on my to-do list for today. In fact, a lot of times when we do our daily readings, we come across a genealogy and we're probably tempted to just skip that section. Well, I'll just skip and go on to the next chapter. Realize also that when Luke wrote this genealogy, he did it a little bit different than the one that's contained in the book of Matthew. Luke works backward while Matthew's genealogy moves forward. And there's a few different names within these two lists. Most notably, Luke's genealogy goes all the way to Adam, the son of God, while Matthew begins with Abraham. We also know that there are some differences between the two because Luke is tracing the genealogy of Mary, the mother of Jesus, while Matthew is working through Joseph's genealogy. There's a few reasons for that, but it's basically an educated guess as to why they did so. Usually when someone asks me why, my answer usually is that Joseph was not the physical lineage of Jesus, but the Jews to whom Matthew was writing would not have accepted a genealogy that necessarily came through Mary. They would have looked for a genealogy that came through Joseph. However, Mary's genealogy is just as valid, and both of them go back to David. Jesus is thoroughly Jewish. There's no doubt about that. That was part of the promise, was to come from the seed of Abraham. As we talked about in one of the recent sermons about the childhood of Jesus, even at the age of 12, you see Jesus learning the worship and the traditions in the temple, and he stays behind and starts talking with the teachers, and they're amazed at the things that he knows. You know, he knows the law. He knows all of these things. And of course, when we really think about who Jesus is as the Word, then it's no wonder that he would know all those things. He would know the Scriptures intimately. But for the sake of proving who Jesus is and proving that Jesus is the Messiah, it needs to be established that he is thoroughly Jewish and that he is of the correct lineage. And so between Luke and Matthew, you find that he's not only of the correct lineage, but he's the correct lineage no matter which way you trace his genealogy. So a lot of those messianic prophecies point to David and his line being where the Messiah would come from. Isaiah speaks of the root of Jesse, which is David's father. Jeremiah talks about a branch of David. And the promise was made that it would be one king that would come through that lineage of David. Not a physical king. He didn't set up a physical kingdom, but he becomes a spiritual king. But as important as it is to realize that, yes, he comes from the seed of David, it's also important to go to Abraham and see that he is a descendant of Abraham, because it needs to fulfill the promises that were made to Abraham about all the nations of the earth being blessed through the seed of Abraham. It's not enough for Jesus to fulfill a few prophecies and let's just let the others fall by the wayside. No, Jesus fulfills all the prophecies of the Messiah. That's very important, because it's not possible for that to happen by chance. Maybe by chance you could have a couple of prophecies that might apply to somebody, but not all. We're talking about hundreds of prophecies. And so it needs to be established that, yes, he's fulfilling this promise about the seed of David and the seed of Abraham as well. So as Jesus fulfills all those prophecies, he becomes the conduit, the word that is brought in order to bring that good news that the plan of God is being fulfilled in Jesus. It needed to be established for the Jews, and it still needs to be established for us today, that our faith might be firm in Jesus the Christ, our King and our Savior. I think today we can offer a prayer of gratitude to God that not only did he come up with a plan for the salvation of mankind, not only did he promise the fruition of that plan through Jesus, the Messiah, all through the Old Testament, but we see the fulfillment of that plan, the completion in Jesus. And that's what we have that we can take advantage of today. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful that God fulfilled his plan and that Jesus came and that he's our Savior and our King. And we need to give our full allegiance to him through that gratitude. Thank you for listening today. We'll continue our readings next week. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.